Praise God. What a wonderful opportunity it is to be back in the house of God, among the people of God. How many of you are thankful today to be standing in a place that's been sanctified by prayer and praise and worship? And it is so good to be with you today. It has been an interesting time. Praise God. Sequestration, as we have stayed isolated and in an attempt to flatten the curve on a virus. Praise God. But it's good to be back in the house of God. Sometimes you don't know what you have until you don't have it for a while. They say absence makes the heart grow fonder. And I'm looking across the sanctuary today at all these faces, and I am thankful to be back together with the people of God. Praise God. And it's been neat for me. I know, I'm sure it has for you as well, but it's been really neat for me to watch the people of God work and minister and be a light and salt in the middle of a difficult situation. People have been faithful in giving and in logging on to services and participating in the things of God. And of course, remember, we are withholding the offering plates during this season of time just because we don't want to spread germs. And so remember that you can give on the Church Center app, or you can give at New Life Beham and contribute your tithes and offerings to the kingdom of God. Praise God. Well, it's a good day to be in the kingdom of God, and it is wonderful to be able to rally around the things of God one more time, to sing the songs, to dance the dance, to be a priest for our homes and families, communities. Praise God. We're going to go to the Word of God today. We're in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. I feel like the Holy Ghost has spoken to me for this service and for this congregation. And I consider it an honor to be able to speak behind this desk. And I appreciate the Holy Ghost. You know, I told somebody the other day, as long as God continues to speak, we'll continue to talk. And I'm not interested in talking if God's not talking. Praise God. And I appreciate God talking to us. Praise the Lord. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, beginning in verse 23. And these are the numbers of the bands that were ready armed to the war and came to David to Hebron to turn the kingdom of Saul to him according to the word of the Lord. The children of Judah that bear shield and spear were 6,800 ready armed to the war. Of the children of Simeon, mighty men of valor for the war, 7,100. And of the children of Levi, 4,600. And Jehoiada was the leader of the Aaronites, and with him were 3,700. And Zadok, a young man mighty of valor in his father's house, 22 captains. And of the children of Benjamin, the kindred of Saul, 3,000, for hitherto the greatest part of them had kept the ward of the house of Saul. And of the children of Ephraim, 20,800 mighty men of valor, famous throughout the house of their fathers. And of the half-tribe of Manasseh, 18,000, which were expressed by name to come and make David king. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. Of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, with all instruments of war, 50,000, which could keep rank, they were not of double heart. And of Naphtali, 1,000 captains, and with them with shield and spear, 37,000. And of the Danites, expert in war, 28,600. And of Asher, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, 40,000. And on the other side of Jordan, of the Reubenites and of the Gadites and of the half-tribe of Manasseh, with all manner of instruments of war for the battle, 120,000. All these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel, and all the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king. And there they were with David 3 days, eating and drinking, for their brethren had prepared for them. Moreover, they that were nigh them, even unto Issachar and Zebulun and Naphtali, brought bread on asses and on camels and mules and oxen, and meat, meal, cakes of figs, and bunches of raisins, and wine and oil and oxen and sheep abundantly. for there was joy in Israel. Why don't you put your Bibles down for just a moment and give God some praise if you're thankful for his word today. God, we love you. We praise you. We magnify your name, oh God. We bless your name, Jesus. Anoint the word, God. Let it be powerful in the ear of the hearer, God. Give your people victory over the adversary today. Let God arise in every home, in every family, in every heart, oh God. We praise you. We magnify you and we glorify your name. Praise God. Everybody say in Jesus' name. You can be seated in the presence of God today. I want to preach on this subject, the most essential business. The most essential business. In our text this morning, the nation of Israel is in a pivotal time of transition. And the era of the judges has expired. And the people have been given a king. They requested of God that God give them a king. And God gave them a king. And we could argue today about whether or not that gift was premature. But be as it may, they were given a king. And the era of judges began to expire. And the era of kings began. And the king that God gave to them did as the people requested. And he ruled them as the kings of the nations around them. And now Saul's tenure as king is over, and Samuel, who is this transitionary figure, this prophet judge, is involved in the prophetic business of transitioning the kingdom of Israel from one king to the next. And all of the leaders of the tribes are now aligning themselves with David, and a representative force is gathering together to make David the king. And so as we read, we understand that Judah is present, and Judah represents praise and worship, and men of praise have assembled, and the Aaronic priesthood is represented, and the Levites are in the house to make David king. The Reubenites and the Gadites, men of war, men ready for trouble. Even the house of Saul shows up, the Benjamites, who are lethal with both hands, with bow and with sling, and all are an essential part of establishing the kingdom of God and transitioning the kingdom to the next phase of dominion and power and anointing. And present with these other leaders is the tribe of Issachar. And this tribe is a little bit obscure. We don't know a whole lot about it, but there are some things that we read in Scripture that are very important to us. And the Bible tells us that, and of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all of their brethren were at their commandment. Each tribe would be instrumental in making sure that the kingdom of God continued into its prophetic future, into a prepared future that the word of God had already prepared in advance for the people. They would bring the kingdom of God to heights that it had never before experienced. And each tribe would play a unifying role. But the sons of Issachar were men of understanding. They understood the times and they commanded their brethren. Now, to understand what's happening here, I think you have to look back a number of years, maybe several hundred years or so, to the patriarch Jacob. And he blessed each of his children and he prophesied things about them that would travel with them far into the future. And concerning Issachar, he said in Genesis 49, Issachar is a strong ass couching down between two burdens. And he saw that rest was good and the land that it was pleasant. And he bowed down his shoulder to bear and became a servant unto tribute. I want to stop today and say that the ministry of prayer is a burden. The ministry of prayer is something that you crouch under, that you get under. The strength of a church will always be the strength of its prayer warriors. I said the strength of a home is always going to be the power and the anointing of somebody who knows how to get under the burden of prayer. That the ministry of prayer is the ministry of reconciliation.
Something comes on you when you begin to pray to God, when you begin to come under the burden of vision casting for your home and family. And we have a ministry of reconciliation, but sometimes that ministry is an incredible burden to bear. And sometimes you have to have strength to bear the burden of prayer. And something about the burden that is carried gave them penetrating insight concerning what Israel should do at any given time. It was and is the most essential business. Can I get an amen in the house of God today? Prayer is the most essential business of the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, I feel a burden on me today to preach to somebody. Maybe your prayer life hasn't been what it could be today, but you need to dig down and you need to dig deep and begin to build a prayer life to God. You need to begin to build a relationship with God so that you will know, your family will know what to do. This is a time of social upheaval. This is a time of chaos, but the most important thing that the people of God can do in this season of time is become a people of prayer. The word says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn, then will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sins and I'll heal their land. I'm telling you, when God shuts up the heaven, that there be no rain, you can get to God. You can connect with God in prayer and get God to turn on your behalf. What this nation needs is not another social program. What this nation needs is not somebody marching in the street. But if my people, if a church will pray, they'll see revival. If a church will pray, they'll see miracles. If a church will pray, they'll see the supernatural. And God will give us understanding of the times.
Praise God. The sons of Issachar, they were crouched down under a heavy burden. I thank God for prayer warriors. I thank God for men and women that I remember in the prayer room growing up who could make their way into the presence of God in prayer and then come under the burden of conviction for a city. I'm telling you, God is calling somebody under the sound of my voice today to get under conviction for a city. God is calling some people today. I'm telling you, there's a lot of things we could be doing with our time. We could be spending all the time on social media and trying to figure out how to resolve life's problems by engaging on a social and political level, but there is nothing in our arsenal that sharpens us any more than time spent with God in prayer. And I'm talking about that deep burden of prayer that says, God, I'm not leaving here today until I get an answer. God, I don't know what I'm supposed to do next, but my eyes are fixed upon you, God. You're the author and finisher of my faith. I don't know what to say, and I don't know what to do, God, but you know what I should do. Put the words in my mouth, God. Put the conviction in my heart. Israel's going to walk in power, and they're going to walk in authority and anointing. They're going to see heights that they've never experienced before, but there's got to be a person involved. You may be obscure. You may sit in the back. You may be a mama that not many people know in the house of God, but I'm telling you that there are some people under the sound of my voice. You feel conviction about prayer, and you feel conviction about intercession. God's telling you, turn up the volume. Crank up the prayer. Come on, you know how to pray. Why don't you take it to another level? Why don't you take it to another level in velocity? Why don't you take it to another level? I'm talking about soul travail. I'm talking about groanings, praying with groanings which cannot be uttered. God, heal this city. God, heal my family. God, heal my community. God, save backsliders. God, give us hope. Give us victory. Victory. Give us anointing. Give us power, God.
Oh, God.
God, give us a vision from you. Give us words to speak, oh God, that are like the balm of Gilead.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. This current season has been challenging for us, and we have, you know, we're all testing the wind. We're all testing the wind. We're all perceiving what should be done. And, you know, we have been dependent upon our local government to tell us some things about what should be done. And we have wisely considered a multitude of counsel. We have sought with medical professionals. It's been an interesting time. We have been in sequestration because of COVID-19. And it's been bizarre. Very seldom do you see something that's not a world war. Very seldom do you see something that affects the entire world. But this has beset us. It's settled on us. It has affected every race and every nationality and every country to some degree. And we have sought counsel. We've looked to people to tell us, to give us insight, to tell us what should be done. And we have peaceably complied with their request, and we have participated in sequestration, and we have isolated ourselves. And we now each official that we are listening to on the news and on the radio and we are following, they all have around them advisors. They have people that they consult with. They have a team of experts. We all have a team of experts. If you're married, man, you've got a team of experts. You got one that's really expert. She knows all kinds of stuff. She tells you all kinds of things you should do. Praise God. And it's wisdom. And it's wisdom. And you better do it. Brother Sam, get ready, get ready. Now, they all have people surrounding them that are telling them what they think they ought to do. And they're telling us what they think we should do. As a matter of fact, when a president is elected at or maybe even before his inauguration, he begins to assemble a cabinet of people. And that cabinet, they are categorically defined by their area of expertise. So they begin to assemble a cabinet, looking for people who may have maybe medical expertise. Maybe they're savvy with geopolitical affairs, and so they're insightful about what a president should do in terms of politics. He's got to think about re-election. I mean, re-election is a part of why he tells you to do what he does. He acquires, he surrounds himself with people who are experts, and they have categorical expertise. They are within a particular frame, and they know about stuff, and they tell him about the stuff that they know. And the strength of a cabinet many times is the strength of a presidency, because sometimes there's not enough time to frame. I mean, decisions have to be made in life in a split second. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Sometimes there's a collision that happens, and sometimes you've got to figure out what to do. And the people that you have surrounded yourself with are instrumental in defining for you what you should do at a given moment. And their responsibility is to advise him and to tell him what he should do and how he should act on behalf of the people. And then even within a cabinet, there's a closer circle of advisors. Now, everybody, I'm sure, operates a little differently, but there are people that are very close to him, and they have the ear of the president, and they are telling him this is what is prudent and this is what is wise. And sometimes you see the man acting and you don't understand that somebody has his ear. Somebody's telling him what he should do. And all of us have a cabinet. All of us have a group of people that are advising us. And during times like 9/11, when the plane hits the building, I remember, you remember, I'm sure, where you were when the moment came And I remember the entire world seemed to stand still. And it matters in moments like that who's advising you and who you have on your counsel. Let me tell you, more than anybody else, who you have to have on your counsel when crisis comes is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how many important people you know today. There's nobody in your life that is more important when the plane hits the tower than Jesus. You got to, as the bishop said the last couple of services, you've got to have him on the main line. You've got to have him on speed dial. You've got to have a relationship with him that says, God, how do I act now? How do I respond now? What should I say? What should I post? What should I do? Now, in matters of state and nation, these decisions are going to be written about. They are going to be recorded in the annals of history, and people for generations of time will reference the decisions. Why did you do what you did? And interviews will be done, and biographies and autobiographies will be written. It matters who you've assembled in your life, who's counseling you. He's got medical advisors, and you've heard from some of the medical professionals about what's happening with the virus, and it's a fluid situation. And so he's consulting people because he doesn't necessarily have that knowledge, but he's consulting with people who have that knowledge. And so he's acquiring information about the ongoing developments of vaccinations and medications and other things. And he has historians that he's consulting with, and constitutionalists who are studying historical precedent, and they're trying to figure out how have we responded in times past to these types of situations and circumstances. What have we done in the history of the nation? And then that has to be held up against the backdrop of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And all of this information is like a maelstrom of spinning and swirling information that's coming to him. And he is responsible for interpreting what he hears. And then that information is disseminated back to the public. And then media members are interpreting it, and they're interpreting it for you, and they're writing what they think you should know and what they think you, and then there are political motivations involved, and now there's a spin on the information. I've read articles even recently. In one instance, this young girl was chased down and killed on the street. I could not find out what her ethnicity was from the article. I could not find out from multiple media reports what color she was or where she came from. I read another article that said black and white 15 times in it. Let me tell you something. When the media is putting out information, you've got to be careful because they're interpreting the information for you. I've come to tell somebody, this is not a day for the church to be looking around to everybody else to interpret for us what's happening. This is a day for the people of God to be sober and to be vigilant and to be aware, wise as serpents and harmless as doves. God's not calling us to follow. He's calling us to lead. He's not calling us to be the tail. He's calling us to be the head. God is looking for a people who can interpret the information based on the wind of the Spirit, not what the world is saying, not what politics is saying, but according to what saith the Word of God. That's a reason to praise God today. That's a reason to get excited. Brother Sam, I'm not being pulled around by the media today. I'm a part of a kingdom that has no end. I'm a part of a kingdom and of the increase of his government and his peace. There shall be no end. Not a fading kingdom like Rome. Not a passing kingdom like Greece, but a kingdom with a king who's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Brother Sam, I'm gonna just be honest with you. I did not mean music, but don't go anywhere. I just felt this help coming on. I just felt a lifting up of my spirit today. Come on. God's calling us to be the church.
God's calling us to be the people of God. God's calling us to be the mouthpiece. We can't get distracted today by what everybody else is saying. We can't get distracted by the miracles of Janice and Jambres. We're the people of God with the word of God. We are. Our responsibility is to be like the tip of the spear. I'm not talking about the blunt end of the spear. I'm talking about the tip of the spear. You know what prayer does? Prayer sharpens the point. Prayer is the thing that gives us thrust. Prayer is the thing that makes my prophetic words have power to destroy the yoke. It's a day of revival. It's a day of healing. It's a day of miracles. There is no social division in the church. There is no social unrest in the church. There is no rioting in the church. The church is the people of God, bought by the blood of Jesus, filled with the Spirit of God. There's neither Jew nor Gentile. There's neither bond nor free. We've all been made to drink from the same spiritual cup. We're washed in the blood of Jesus. We're sanctified by His Spirit. Come on. Is anybody excited today to be the people of God? I'm not worried today about being elected. I'm not worried today about making friends and influencing people. I'm connected to a great host. I don't care how many friends I have on social media. I am compassed about by such a great cloud of witnesses that speak of the things I'm speaking of today. I've got Peter up there in heaven sending me lights. I've got John right now saying, go, go, go. I don't care what the politicians think about me. I don't care what the social political world thinks. I'm connected to the people of God. I'm not talking about an important piece of business. I'm not talking about a secondary place of emphasis. I'm not talking about, well, you know, if you knew where I came from, you would not speak on the issue. Listen, friend, I'm so glad that God forgot where I came from. I'm so glad you don't define me by where I came from. There wasn't nobody special back in my family tree. The only folks in my family that are special are the ones who've been filled with the Spirit of God, who have been baptized in the name of Jesus, who have the doctrine of oneness and separation. I've only begun to be special when I was born into the family of God. And I'm not going to today, I'm so off my notes. I'm not going to step down, Brother Randy, to a secondary conversation. I don't know what America ought to do. I don't know. How do you bridge the gap? I don't know, Brother Nick. I don't know. Now, within the context of social political things, I have no idea what they should do. Not within the frame of that expertise. I can't tell you what you should do politically. As a matter of fact, Brother Matt, I started asking the question this last week. I'm looking at all this stuff going on and I'm listening to all the comments. And I started asking the question, and I asked you and Sister Jill in my office the other night, is it possible to do what America's trying to do with multiple cultures and ethnicities? Is it even possible, Brother Kadarius, without the Holy Ghost?
Why are you shocked? Blood-bought, apostolic child of God. Why are you shocked that there is injustice in the world? There's all kinds of injustice. Always has been. Always will be. It's going to always be unjust out there. I have chosen. I'm not surrounding myself with people who want to have the conversation on that level. Because I don't know what they should do. But I don't belong to that kingdom. When I came into the kingdom of God, my dad taught Bible studies. And you know what my dad taught me? My dad taught me about Abraham. God said, Abraham, I know you're the son of an idol maker. But I tell you what, Abraham, if you'll leave your father, your mother, your country, your ethnic group behind, and you will start walking in faith, I'm going to take you to a land that I will show you. That's, yeah, when I was a little boy, I heard that conversation. You got to leave your mama. You got to leave your daddy. You got to leave your country. You got to leave your race. Now, I'm proud to be an American because America is the best place I can figure on the face of the earth to do the business we're doing. But let me just say this as a caveat. Number one and foremost in my life, my last name is not Collins. My last name is Jesus. And my identity is not American. My identity is Kingdom of God. And the kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink. It's not tangible. It's not touchable. It's not meat and drink, but it's peace and joy and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Not in my goodness, not in my, but in... What's the answer? I said, what's the answer? There's no other name. There's no other kingdom. There's no other knowledge. There's no other understanding. There's no other counsel, Paul said. I'm going to give you an Instacart insight. You ready? It's not going to end well. It's not going to end well. Not out there. It's going to keep getting uglier and uglier. It's going to keep getting worse and worse. You can't fix that. Oh, I know. You're going to get on social media, and you're going to say your piece, and you're going to fix it. Right. What you're doing is you're coming down from Jerusalem. And listen, I don't care who it is. I don't want to get in trouble, and I don't want to offend anybody today. But I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's an apostolic preacher. If they're getting on social media and having this conversation, they are stepping down from the office that God called them to and stepping down to a secondary level where you can't fix it. It's broken. It's finite. But this is the house of God. This is the place where the council really happens. I'm so pumped today about the kingdom of God. I could take a lap around the church. I'm so excited to be a part of the kingdom of God. Somebody ought to shout like you know what you're a part of. Somebody ought to praise God because he let you in to the kingdom of God. I'm so glad y'all let me in. I'm so glad you let me stay. I'm so glad you taught me how to act. If it wasn't for the Lord who was on my side. To get the job done, to really get the job done, we need every part of it. Brother Micah, we need strong men. We need strong women. We need all of your vocational expertise, Brother Andy. We need people. We had people here yesterday replacing glass. They put windows in this building. That's a single pane piece of glass up at the top. If you look at the reflection on the floor, you will see that the upper pieces were not replaced. The lower pieces were replaced. That green shadow on the lower end is called low E glass. It's insulated. It has the best UV protection of any glass that you can get. What it's going to do is it's going to improve. Sister Grammy somewhere getting real excited about now. It's going to improve the cost of heating and cooling this sanctuary for a number of years to come. How many of you are thankful that we've got some people in the church who know how to put glass in? As a matter of fact, Brother Kadarius, if you stand where this reflection of the sun hits you for long enough, you're going to get really hot. But if you take one step in this direction, it's going to be nice and cool. That line right there could be the line of separation between what's out there and what's inside. I'm telling you, that's what it's like being a part of the church today. I'm telling you, one step in the right direction, and where you might be ostracized out there, over here I'm safe. Your babies may be marginalized out there. One step in the right direction. That wasn't even what I was going to talk about. That wasn't even what we were going to talk about. Y'all knew it was. Y'all caught me. I heard you laugh and I had to tell everybody. One step in the right direction. But I thank God for glass men. I thank God for nurses. My wife's a nurse. And teachers. And piano players. I thank God for contractors. Praise God. I'm not taking that trip. I thank God for Brother Daniel. He's helping us out tremendously, building our house. I thank God for everything that is represented, because the people of God are excellent in everything they do. And I'm just telling you, if we want to be the tip of the spear, we have to put our vocational expertise on the side. If we want to be the tip of the spear, I'm not saying don't use it, but I'm saying when it comes down to the nitty gritty, when it comes to the nuts and bolts, you've got to put your ethnicity on the side. You've got to put your whiteness, your Hispanicness, your blackness. You've got to put your vocation. You've got to put the dent repairs and the contracting and everything else on the side. And you've got to pray prayers that say, God, I want to be a part of the answer. I want to be a part of the solution. God, I want you to make us great. I want you to give us great revival. Come on. God's looking for some people today who understand I'm a part of the most essential business happening in our community. I'm a prayer warrior. I'm a preacher of the gospel. I'm a Bible study teacher. I'm an evangelist to my community. Come on, the words are already in your mouth. You've got the Spirit living on the inside of you. You ought to go ahead and let that Spirit out right now. Come on, somebody prophesy. Somebody talk in tongues. Come on, you're a prophetic people. You're a chosen generation. Come on, praise singers. Come on, sing to them. Come on, that's it. Go ahead and prophesy. The doors are open. The church is in business. God's ready to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh.
No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know that we win.
that what we have here, the revelation, the understanding, there was a price paid to get it. And what happens is as the sacrifice is made, as somebody gets under the burden of the vision and they begin to carry it into the future, it's a labor of love. It is the tip of the spear, and it's going into a future. It's going maybe 33 or 34 years down the road, Brother Jermaine. It's going into a future where some people who were babies are now grown up, and now they are the beneficiaries of somebody carrying a burden. Now, what the enemy would do in every generation is the enemy would have us get carnal and get distracted. He would have us beginning to focus on secondary things. And when people start chattering out there on the outside, all of a sudden thoughts of doubt and fear begin to creep into your mind. And you begin to think, well, maybe that's just the way that it is. Maybe that's the reality of how the future is going to look for me. And the enemy would have us exchange, like Esau, for a trinket. Something that is priceless and is an inheritance. Something that is so valuable, it is worth laying down your life to obtain. He would have us get distracted by the voices out in the world that are telling us what reality is and how things really will be. But you know, when I pray about this kind of stuff and I think about what should I say and how should I feel, I can't help but think about growing up in this culture and experiencing the preaching and the teaching, and growing up with friends who didn't look like me, but they became my brothers. I know what it's like to have a brother in the flesh walk away. But when my brother in the flesh walks away from the kingdom of God, I look to the left and I've got brothers. And I look to the right and I've got brothers. What I'm trying to tell you today is that you should not exchange the vision, the revelation, the power. I'm telling you, generational power. I'm telling you, the kind of power that can affect a family for generations to come. There's an adversary that would have you sell that for a bowl of soup, that would have you sell that for some likes on Facebook. Let me tell somebody here today, the devil is a liar. Let God be true. I take the kingdom in all of its warts and hiccups and burps and everything we might not like about it. I am siding with the people of God. I purchased the vision that it's not for sale today. I thank God for what we have. And what we have and our defense of it is going to be the thing that projects us into our future. Not a future that has question marks, but a future with emphatic statements from God. A future for our babies, for freedom that we never experienced in our life to the full degree that they will experience it. But because we fight for this stuff, and because we push back the darkness, and because we reject the lie, they're going to receive an inheritance, a blessing, and I'm telling somebody today, you need to take everything you've got and throw it into the kingdom of God, lock, stock, and barrel. You need to say, I'm in all the way. I'm the people of God. That's come on, one more time before we leave today. Why don't you step out of your pew within 6 feet of your neighbor? Why don't somebody just step out a little bit and give God some praise for the kingdom of God? Why don't you go ahead and give God a shout for letting you be a part of this kingdom?
Somebody needs to
catch on fire. Catch on fire. Catch on fire.
Yes, somebody needs to
catch on fire. Burning with the Holy Ghost.
Oh, somebody needs to
catch on fire.
Catch on fire.
Catch on fire. Catch on fire.
Yes.
praise God. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Man, I'm excited about what God's doing. You know what you need to do today? You need to go out when you drive through. Find somebody that doesn't look like you, that didn't come from the community you come from. Why don't you go somewhere and look for somebody? Tell them, look, I just want to tell you, the answer to all this foolishness happening out in the world around us is the kingdom of God. Why don't you come to church with me tonight? Come on, how many of you believe if you bring somebody to the house of God tonight, God will fill them with the Holy Ghost? Come on, how many believe revival is here? God is ready to do something we've never seen him do before. Praise God. Love somebody. Share your strength. Stay socially disconnected. God bless you.